Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
All right, thank y'all for bringing us in the house this morning. Happy Mother's Day! I hope when you came in this morning, every girl, every lady, every woman, every mom, grandmother, you're supposed to get a flower. I think I called them roses in the early service. They gave me quite a bit a hard time about that. So flowers, carnations, okay. One announcement this morning, and that is, this is for women, May 16th, that's a Saturday, 2 to 4, Bunko here at St. Luke's. And so, DeLee, are they supposed to sign up? To plan for. Okay. So just come, but if you let us know you're coming, you might get a grape or something. I don't know. Or maybe some cheese. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, y'all can be seated. Making y'all stand through me talking. That's scary. Okay, so I listen to Pandora when I'm working out, walking, whatever. And Pandora is like a cheap man's, Apple. Anyway, I use Pandora, and I use the free Pandora, which means they'll be playing the song, and then all of a sudden, here comes a commercial. And the commercial I heard went like this. Would you like us to bring the church to you? Do you love praise and worship? And then it said this. If you would like to have praise and worship whenever the mood strikes, and I'm going, now something's not right about that. Because we're here to worship not when we have a whim about it, or not when we have a preference about it, or not when we just feel like it, when the mood is right. We are called to worship Him in obedience. And we are called to worship Him because we love Him. We are called to worship Him because we have this need within us to come into His presence. And so thank y'all for being here at worship this morning. And guess what else we're supposed to do? Not because it's a whim. We're supposed to honor our mothers, not just when we feel like it, right? Not just when we get around to it. We are supposed to honor them because we love them. Amen. Let every breath, let every person. You got lungs in your, you got breath in your lungs. Let's praise the Lord. Okay, this morning, hear and receive God's word. It's one whole verse. We're just going to say it together. Y'all ready? Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. One more time. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Lord Jesus, thank you. God, for every mom in the house, every woman, every girl in the house, God, may I just pray this morning especially that they will receive this indescribable gift, that they will receive you afresh and anew. God, for the thousandth time or for the first time, they'll receive you and your grace and your love into their hearts, into their lives this very morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So on a website dedicated to moms, they decided to do some research on the worst Mother's Day gifts ever. And their readers didn't disappoint. Here are a few of their responses. A pedicure with my mother-in-law. Okay. Olive oil because my husband thought I'd really like the bottle it came in. A dog hair remover brush. Now that's romantic, isn't it? Yeah. Pajamas 4 years in a row. Please get me something else, anything else. A Mother's Day card that the child was meant to decorate, but the problem was the child was only 1 month old, so it's just a plain white card with nothing on it. That's very thoughtful, yes. Deodorant. I actually wanted to try this new brand. I actually said it out loud, God forgive me, but not as a Mother's Day gift. And then this is my favorite. I may have even gotten this for Janie. I don't know. Wiper blades. A gift card for a golf course that my husband likes to play at. I don't play golf. I wonder who got to use that card. Anyway. And then obviously a vacuum cleaner. That was the worst gift. Okay, so Christine Nightinger Hull recently wrote an article entitled Top 10 Worst Mother's Day Gifts. I won't do all 10, but here are 6 things she recommends definitely not to give your mom this Mother's Day or any Mother's Day, and I can see already some of us are going to be in trouble. Go to that slide there. Self-help books? No, don't do that. Household items like, like vacuum cleaners. Cooking lessons, probably not a good idea. A Botox gift certificate, I don't think so. Anything automotive like wiper blades, that's out. Some of y'all, I know, again, you're in trouble. And then the top 10, maybe I think she said, the number one thing not to give your mother for Mother's Day is nothing. Don't do that one. Any of y'all already guilty of that? Okay. When your wife says, no, really, I don't need anything this Mother's Day. Okay. I was trying to remember things that I gave my mother way back in the day for Mother's Day. And I know a couple of times I gave her a Plaster Parish handprint that we spray painted gold. And, you know, on it I remember writing, Mama, I love you. I know I made her a clay-baked ashtray that I made in art class at school. I would love to see a picture of that dude today. I know that what we really tried to do for Mama in our church was to get her a rose at church. Y'all, every woman here, again, every daughter of God here, every girl here was supposed to get a carnation this morning. Anyway, but at our church, growing up in Lorenzo, the way that you got a rose at church was because you had the most kids or grandkids present at church. Now, we had six boys in my family, started having grandkids pretty soon, so it was always tight. The Boyds had five kids, and so it was a race always. My oldest brother didn't go to church for like 3 decades. He kind of threw us behind. Anyway, the thing I know, right, is that Mama cared a lot more about us being there than any old rose that she ever could have been given. It's funny, I can't remember what we gave her, but it's easy for me to remember all that she gave us. When I was 5 years old, kindergarten was optional, and being the sixth son of six boys, my mom wanted to max out her time with her youngest, so that meant I didn't start school until first grade. I have such great memories of helping Mama do all kinds of things as a little boy, hanging the laundry out on the clothesline, sitting on the cutting board while she ground up meat with the meat grinder, peeling 10 pounds of potatoes for supper, I think that was every day, sweeping the garage, changing the sheets, going to the store, running errands. One thing for sure, there was never a dull moment with Mama. When I was growing up, I remember Mama always supporting everything and everyone in our family. I remember her loving Daddy when he was full blown in his alcoholism. I remember our house being a place where all kinds of folks felt welcome. When I was in fifth grade, I remember Mama endlessly studying spelling words with me because I was in the spelling bee, Crosby County Spelling Bee. I remember Mama always playing the piano at our church. I remember Mama taking Grandmother Foster into our house to live with us when Grandmother broke her hip at age 88. I remember Mama taking care of Daddy in his final years. And by the way, both of those things were happening simultaneously. I remember Mother's kindness and compassion, but also her perseverance and tenacity. She finished her music performance degree from Tech after 4 of her kids were born. She might have been in her 40s, but she could still chase my brothers Terry and Carrie down when they were teenagers and they needed to be chased down. She might have been over 50, but she could drag my brother Joe into the principal's office when he tried to skip school. Mama had a humongous heart, and she also had a long, skinny leather belt that she used when my words were disrespectful and when my actions were defiant. Mama's perseverance and tenacity meant that she loved Daddy and all of us, no matter what. Mama's love and perseverance eventually won Daddy and all of us to Jesus. I can't remember the gifts that we gave her, but I do know the gifts that God gave her that made her who she was created, who she was meant to be. So this morning, I want to share with you the godly gifts that matter. I want to share with you God's 5 gifts that make all the difference. I want to share with you his 5 gifts that he desires to give, not just to the moms in the house, but he desires to give to each and every person here this morning. Gift number one that moms are given, gift number one that God desires all of us to know we are given, is that we are created in God's image. We are his imago Dei creations. God made you. God don't make no junk. You're not junk, right? This painting that you see is Rembrandt's Return of the Prodigal. And I don't know if you've ever seen this painting. It's a great painting. Henry Nouwen has a book that he's written about it. But you know, the prodigal son there, man, torn and tattered, malnourished, his shoes are gone. He's in trouble. But look at the father's hands, okay? His left hand is a big O of maybe hair on the knuckles, a strong masculine hand. His right hand is a long, thin, slender, feminine hand. And in this painting, Rembrandt is echoing the nature of how God created us. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind, humanity, in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind, humanity, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Moms, ladies, girls, you are created in the image of God. And that means you are fearfully, wonderfully, beautifully made in his image. You have absolute worth and significance, not based in this world, but based in the very creative, powerful touch of God upon your very identity. Y'all know Mother Teresa. I told this story a thousand times, but I just can't get anything else that does it for me. This is her. And in 1979, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. And Dan Rather flew over to see her and spend a week with her. He was the CBS news anchor at the time. And when he went over, he just spent the week, you know, with her, seeing what she does, doing what, you know, going wherever she went. And after spending the week with her, he just said, "Mother Teresa, I wouldn't do what you do for all the money in the world." And by the way, you know what she did? She took care of the poorest of the poor. She took care of those that the world trashed, she treasured. You know, those that the world discarded, she discovered. That's what she did 24/7. And so, again, after spending the week, "I wouldn't do what you do for all the money in the world." And so she said, "Neither would I." And he said, "Then why do you do what you do?" And she said, "Because every time that I bathe that man dying of dysentery, every time that I comfort that mother who's that young mother dying of AIDS, every time that I hold and feed that baby suffering from starvation, when I look into their face, I see the face of Jesus." You see, what Mother Teresa knew is that when in every human being, there's the imprint of the divine. We are created in his image. When Haley had her 8-year-old birthday party, someone gave her a Baywatch Barbie. Working with college students at the time made me very much aware of the chronic self-image struggles. Made me aware of girls dealing with self-hatred and some girls dealing with self-harming. Others dealing with the never-ending anxiety of trying to measure up to the standards of the world around them. And in the middle of her birthday party, I said, "Haley, I need to talk to you for a minute." And so I got back to her room. I said, "Haley, I just want you to know that God made you and you are beautiful." I held up the Baywatch Barbie. I said, "Haley, no matter how skinny you are, how blonde you are, how tan you are, how busty you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God and you have absolute worth. You are beautiful." "Okay, Dad." "Haley, the world didn't give you your worth. Don't ever let this world take it away. Don't ever let this world take it from you." "Okay, Dad." Y'all, our world says we have worth because of our looks or our smarts or our accomplishments or our bank accounts. But our true non-negotiable worth comes because we are created in the very image of God. And God says clearly, Genesis 1:31, not just that we're good. He says that we are very good. All of the rest of creation, good, 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 good. God creates humanity. He says, very good. In Hebrew, not just tov, but tov me'od, very good. Mama was born in 1922. Her mother died in childbirth. They said mother weighed in at barely over 2 pounds and that she fit in a shoebox. Her Aunt Erie, who had never been able to have children, took mother in and raised her and fed her and loved her. And my mama, before she ever had six boys, before she ever did all the wonderful things she did in her life, before she ever played the piano, before she ever graduated from college, before she ever spoke a word, before she ever took a step, before she ever even took a breath, y'all, she was not just good. She was very good. Not just tov, but tov meod, fearfully, wonderfully, beautifully made in the image of God. Every single daughter of God in the house, you are fearfully, wonderfully, beautifully made in the image of God. Gift number two that moms are given, gift number two that God desires to give all of us this morning is a relationship with Him that lasts. A relationship with Him that lasts. If Genesis 1 tells the story of our great Imago Dei creation, Genesis 3 tells the story of our great fall. It's the story of Adam and Eve in the very beginning, and it's the story of every single one of us ever since. It's a story of humanity choosing our way over God's way. It's a story of humanity choosing selfish independence over surrendered trust. It's a story of listening to the destructive snakes of this world rather than the loving voice of God. It's a story of sinful disobedience rather than loving obedience and dependence upon God. But what happens next? What happens next in the story is that God comes looking and searching for Adam and Eve. The very ones who had turned away from Him are now the ones He pursues. Adam, Eve, where are you? What happens in the story of humanity is that God comes seeking, pursuing a relationship with us no matter what our sin, no matter what our brokenness, no matter how great our fall. All the religions of the world have a plan for how humanity, you know, over there can get to God over here. Islam has its five pillars, and Hinduism has the nirvana, and Buddhism has the eightfold path, but only in Christianity do we have a God who comes all the way to us. And Jesus, only Jesus puts on, right, human skin. And only Jesus puts on human vulnerability and risk. Only Jesus puts on our poverty and our need. Only Jesus puts on an old Roman cross to take away our sin and brokenness. Only Jesus shed His blood for our forgiveness and our healing. Only Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, God proves His love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. This relationship that lasts forever, this relationship that lasts because it's not based on what we do. It's based on what God has done for us. This morning, moms, ladies, girls, do you have a relationship with Jesus where you know that you belong to Him? Y'all, it's a gift. It's the indescribable gift. It's the ultimate gift, the ultimate Mother's Day gift that won't change just you. It will change your family forever. Gift number three that moms are given, gift number three that God desires to give all of us is His agape love. His agape love that transforms us into His very image. We read 1 Corinthians 13 at weddings. We read it sometimes at funerals. And I just want to, we're going to read it this morning, but I want to tell you that this is how God loves you. Love, His love, Jesus Himself. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Doesn't keep score, right? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. And y'all, that is how Jesus loves you. And the more we receive his love, the more we receive his love, the more his love shapes us and defines us. The more we receive his unconditional and transforming love, the more we are not only changed, but the more his love will flow and overflow through us to others. When we let his love shape us, his love will also shape our family. Y'all, we all know viruses are contagious. You ever been on an airplane and somebody sneezing, you're like, ooh, you know, or maybe at the weight room, somebody's sneezing and they're not wiping the equipment off, you make sure you wipe it off, right? We know that viruses can be contagious. We know we can get germs from touching stuff and people that are already infected. We know how physical disease so easily spreads. But you know what else spreads so easily? You know what else spreads so easily to others? Stress and anxiety, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, selfishness. We catch that stuff and we pass that stuff along from person to person, from generation to generation. Unless we allow the transforming power of God's love to break the chains and set us free. Our trauma, our conflict, our woundedness is readily and easily passed on to others unless the intervention of God's love becomes real in our lives. What are you breathing in and breathing out every day in your home or in your relationships? Who or what is calling the shots in your family? Praise God, we get to choose. Praise God that his transforming love is available to every single person, every single family here this morning, and we get to choose whether we're going to receive that love or whether we're going to keep breathing all the crud of this world. It's our choice. I love one mother's adaptation of 1 Corinthians 13. I think I read it almost every year on Mother's Day. It goes like this. If I live in a house of spotless beauty with everything in its place, but have not love, I'm a housekeeper, not a homemaker. If I have time for waxing, polishing, and decorative achievements, but have not love, my children learn cleanliness, not godliness. Love leaves the dust in search of a child's laugh. Love smiles at the tiny fingerprints on the newly cleaned window. Love wipes away the tears before it wipes up the spilled milk. Love picks up the child before it picks up the toys. Love is present through the trials. Love reprimands, reproves, and is responsive. Love crawls with the baby, walks with the toddler, runs with the child, then stands aside to let the youth walk into adulthood. Love is the key that opens salvation's message to a child's heart. Before I became a mother, I took glory in my house of perfection. Now I glory in God's perfection of my child. As a mother, there's much I must teach my child. There's much I must do. But the greatest of all is love. We have a choice. And y'all, no matter what's happened in your life, in your marriage, with your children, with your grandchildren, it's never too late to start doing what's right. It's never too late to let the love of God become real in you and through you. The promise of Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know where you need love the most. Maybe it's in loving yourself. Maybe it's in letting go of some really past yucky stuff. Maybe it's in being able to let someone love you, to let God love you, or maybe it's about you being able to love them. This morning, let the agape love of Jesus become real to you. Gift number four that moms are given, gift number four that God desires to give all of us, is Christ's presence. The very indwelling presence of Jesus' Holy Spirit within us. Jesus didn't just create us. Jesus doesn't just love us. Jesus doesn't just save us. Jesus fills us with his very presence, his very Holy Spirit. The last words Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven, found in Acts 1:8, this is what it said. But you will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll receive power, dunamis, that's divine ablement, okay? Divine ablement to be who he's calling you to be, to do what he's calling you to do, to be the mom that he's calling you to be. John 16:7, Jesus says, this is the last night he's with his disciples. He says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. That doesn't sound for my good. Unless I go away, Jesus says, the advocate, the comforter, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When Jesus was here on planet Earth, he could only be in one place at one time. But when Jesus ascends to heaven, he goes from here to there so that he can pour out his Holy Spirit everywhere. Every single, wherever you're sitting this morning, if you believe in Jesus and you're open to his Holy Spirit, that's where he is. Every church in this town, that's where he is. Every place on this planet where folks are believing and open to his Holy Spirit, that's where Jesus is. When Jesus comes upon you, when he's within you, you will receive dunamis. You will receive power. Power to love unselfishly and sacrificially. Power to parent with patience and not anger. Power to influence your children for the good. Power to forgive. Power to love unconditionally. Power to actually say yes to God and no to Satan. Power to be the beautiful daughters of God, the beautiful sons of God that he is calling you to be. Tom Harrison was pastor at Asbury Methodist Church in Tulsa for 29 years. Tom is the pastor that took Janie and me to Israel in 2024. And Tom, he's a great guy. He tells a great story about a mom whose son had completely walked away from the family and the faith. The son had made a series of destructive choices, choosing a lifestyle of addiction and anger. And for years, there was zero contact. The son was, for all intentional purposes, lost and completely separated, completely unseen by his family. But his mother understood a power, a dunamis, that the world did not. Every single night for years, she performed a small sacrificial act. She turned a light switch on. Every night, she left the porch light on for her son to come home. And one night, after years and years of being gone, at 3 a.m. in the morning, the son finally came home. And he didn't have a speech. He didn't have excuses. Man, he was just broken. When he walked through the door, he didn't find a mother who was angry or one who demanded an apology for the years of pain that he had caused. He found a mother who had already forgiven him years and years before. Tom says this, the power to keep the light on isn't human willpower. It's the power of a daughter of God who has decided that her love is not dependent on her child's performance. We think power is found in the wind or the fire, but the greatest power on earth is found in a mother who chooses patience over anger when her heart is breaking. That is not human strength. That is a daughter of God tapping into the ultimate source of ultimate power. Man, you want to love your kids, your grandkids, the way they need to be loved, then let God first love you. Let God fill you with his very presence so that you can love others even as he has loved you. Gift number five that moms are given, gift number five that God desires to give all of us, is essential mission. I believe all moms in the room feel the call to love their children and provide for their needs. Yes? My hunch is that every mom in this house has a mama bear instinct very much alive within them. You know, that mama bear instinct, that means if you start messing with my kids, you're going to be messing with me. While this instinct to protect and even exalt our kids is important for their survival as cubs, it can actually be detrimental to the long-term health and influence of their lives. God help us when we have made our children think that life is all about them. God help us when we have attached their value to their accomplishments and achievements. God help us when we have constantly compared our children to other children. Moms, God has given you a great commandment and a great commission. The great commandment, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Your children, they just don't need to hear that commandment or read it in their Bibles at church or whatever. They need to see that commandment lived out in you vertically, horizontally, and then even back towards yourself. The great commandment is not something necessarily that kids are taught. It's something that they catch. It's, you know, our children are listening, but they're listening with their eyes. The greatest way for the great commandment to be received is for it to be lived. No, not just lip service, but heart surrender. And God has also given you a great commission. This is from Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Moms, dads, everybody here. The first place God is calling you to make disciples is in your own home. Now, I could just confess that I was, for some reason or another, very willing to delegate that to the church. That I didn't do nearly enough making disciples of my own children. That I trusted that to some really great people in youth ministry and children's ministry. But y'all, it's mine and it's yours. Moms, God is calling you to more than the protection and exaltation of your kids. He is calling you to raise your children to know that life is not all about them, but rather life is all about Him. He is calling you to raise your children not to succeed in this world, but to raise them to love, raise them not to merely invest in their own investments, but rather to invest in making a difference in this world for Jesus. Is that radical? Yes. But if you want your children not just to exist or not just to survive or not just even to, achieve in the eyes of the world, if you want them to truly change the world, then we have to approach them differently. Young Thomas Edison came home from school one day with a note for his mother. He told her, "My teacher gave this paper to me and told me that only you should read it." And as his mom read it, her eyes filled with tears. She read the note aloud to her son. "Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have enough good teachers for training him. Please teach him yourself so he can grow up to truly make a difference in this world." Many years later, after his mom had passed away, after Edison himself had now become a very famous inventor, he found that folded piece of paper in the back of a desk drawer. What the note actually said was, "Your son is mentally ill. We won't let him come to this school anymore." The point? A mother's love, rooted in God's love, has the power to rewrite a child's identity. Edison's mother saw what the world couldn't see, what the world didn't see. She saw her son and how much God loved him, and she saw his potential. See your children as God sees them. See them not just for who they are, but for who God desires them to be. We have a mission. And that mission is not just about taking care of our own. You know, me and Janie, us two, that'll do. Me and Janie and Josh, us three, that's as far as I can see. Me and Janie, Josh Haley, us four, no more. Me and Janie, Josh Haley, Caleb, us five, keep us alive. No. We are on this earth, moms, dads, to invest in our children so they can invest in transforming this world. So y'all, I think y'all maybe saw the notes and probably figured out I was trying to spell something, right? G-R-A-C-E, grace. Moms, dads, we can never be who God is calling us to be until we first let Him have us and find us and love us and change us and save us and heal us. By the way, did I tell you my mother's name? At 2.2 pounds, they named her, not knowing if she'd live a day or a week. They gave her the name Grace. It means God's gift. And she was God's gift to us because she let God gift her with His presence, with His love, His forgiveness, His healing, His grace. Y'all, this morning, we're going to sing our last song, and this altar's open. Maybe you want to come pray and say thank you for the mom who's gone on to heaven in your life. Or maybe you want to pray for the mom that's in this room in your life. And maybe you're a kid or a teenager, you want to pray for your mom. Or maybe you're a mom and you want to pray for your kids. But we'll never be who God wants us to be this way until we first give ourselves to Him this way. Come, surrender yourselves to the one who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heaven. Y'all come. I'm asking a non-rhetorical question. If you are here this morning and you were made for more, will you raise your hands? Lord, you see our hands and I know you see our hearts. And God, we invite you to come and just have us head to toe, side to side, heart to mind, mind to heart, all that we are, all that we have, we give to you, Jesus. Bless these mothers in the house and let them have a great day of knowing they are loved, not just by us, but by you. In your name, Jesus, amen. God bless y'all. Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.